One of the things, so I'm reading Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals, right? Because
Good.
you want to figure out how your enemies think here. And he talks a lot about how to go about fomenting this revolution in the United States. One thing that I find conspicuously absent from the book so far, and I'm not through with it yet, so I might get to it, I don't know. But the one thing I find conspicuously absent is that he never articulates why it is exactly that a revolution needs to take place in the country. He never lays out these great ills that America has caused that require us to overthrow the government and bring in a Marxist. I mean, he doesn't call himself a Marxist, but I mean that's exactly what it is. And so it has me thinking that their time horizon, we were just talking about this a moment ago, is 100 years. It's as long as it takes. Our time
Yes.
horizon is next month.
Right.
And I think we need to adjust our outlook to kind of match our enemies. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, what I talked about today was, for me, I say this at the end of every one of my podcasts. I can't guarantee you that if we fill up all the vacant precinct committee and slots in the Republican Party, which I believe is the first step for saving the Republic, that we're going to save the Republic. I can't guarantee that because there's all sorts of other things that could happen, but I believe we would have a very good shot. But I believe also the flip side of that coin is an easy one, and that is if we don't do that first step, I guarantee you we're going to lose the Republic. Because two things are going to happen. We're not going to change the Republican Party, which is our vehicle for making these changes happen, because we have to use it to elect better people. I explained it all in my book. It's real simple, basic common sense. If the country is in a political crisis, maybe you should use a political solution to solve the political problem. And how do you do that? What kind of an organization should you use? Maybe a political organization called a political party. And see, we've been allowing the same fake Republicans to get reelected in these super low turnout primary elections every 2 years and every 6 years in the case of the Senate. Well, every 2 years, because one third of them get flipped every 2 years in the U.S. Senate. And that goes for the state legislatures, the county boards of supervisors, the mayors, the city councils. But in the case of midterm elections of Republican primaries, the average turnout, I looked it up, it's really easy. There's a bipartisan group that did the work. I always try now with the internet to never do my own original research. I try to find somebody who's already done the research. And so they did the research and they looked at like 2 decades and they averaged it. And the average turnout in a Republican turnout for the House is 20% in a primary. 20%. And then I looked up Kevin McCarthy's in 2022 in California. Average, the turnout of Republicans was 22.8% in a heavily red district. There were two other guys running against him. They each got 1.5%. Kevin got 65% of 22.8%.
Which is
They
like
either e
14,
either one of them,
15%.
either one of them could have taken him out easily if they'd have called me and I had accepted their, offer to help them if they were, I thought they were really good conservatives. They might have just been vanity candidates and probably were. Look, I ran for, because in California, you can pay to get on the ballot. You don't have to get signatures.
I did not know
Unlike,
that.
yeah, it varies from state to state. And so, anyways, because I know somebody who did it in Los Angeles when I moved to Los Angeles. He wanted to be able to say he ran for Congress. So he forked out like $3,400 to get on the ballot and didn't do a stitch of work and debated the incumbent Republican a couple of times. And now he can say, I ran for Congress. There's a lot of people like that.
So this is how, when we sit and we wonder how these folks who betray us almost on a near daily basis got into Congress. This is how. It's
It's
because
our fault. It's our fault. We keep reelecting them. Look at Mitch McConnell. He's never had a real job in his life. Chuck Schumer's never had a real job ever. It's been in politics from day one. Joe Biden has never had a real job. And the people in Delaware keep reelecting him and reelecting him and reelecting him. And there he is, you know. Think of how sick our society is that we've allowed somebody like Bill Clinton, Barack Obama, almost Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
And now Joe Biden. I'm embarrassed as an American to say that he got elected. Well, it was a stolen election. Everybody and their dog knows that. That's obvious. But we allowed it to happen collectively. I like some of these sentiments that are out there, like that, you know, that that one country singer had a song recently. Well, not in a small town. It was in relation to somebody got beat up or something. Yep. Or, you know, there was in the context of all these horrible things happening in the big cities.
Right, in a small town,
and they're just not going to happen in a small town. And I know that because I grew up in a small town and I spent the summer in my small town. And I tell you what, everybody's armed if they want to be. And there's no crime in that sleepy little hamlet that I grew up in because everybody looks out for everybody else.
That's the way it should be.
Yeah.
So tell us about, I know you do a lot of work about, all right, before we get started on the missing ingredient, I wanted you to answer this question. Both parties say if turnout reaches a certain point, we win, right? The Republicans say that, and Democrats say that. The key to winning is turnout. If we turn out our party base, we win. We're the majority of the country. Which party is telling the truth?
Well, neither right now, because the elections are selections. Whoever controls those machines, well, that's determines the outcome, period. Mm. Doesn't make any difference. It's a system that's, I've said this many times. If Mike Lindell had come to me and said, hey, Dan, I'd like you to take that case for Carrie Lake for her governor's race in Arizona, I would have said, I won't take the case. And then he'd say, well, why not? I said, because I can't prove it.
Mm.
The system is designed so that it is impossible to prove that any single ballot is fraudulent. Because in the case of the mailed ballots, they get mailed in, then they verify the signature, which was a joke.
Right.
And then they separate the ballots. And then from the envelope. And they can never come back together.
Right.
Because then it's no longer a secret ballot.
Right.
Because we have to have, by law, secrecy in our elections.
Right.
Everybody gets to have a secret ballot. Nobody can know but you who you voted for. Right. So it gets separated. So you cannot prove, and I told everybody this who would ask me, what's going to happen? They'd ask, what's going to happen to Carrie Lake? Okay, I said, she's going to lose. And I'll tell you why she's going to lose. Because the burden of proof is on her to show she lost by 17,177 votes in 2022 in the governor's race in Maricopa County alone.
Right.
This was only Maricopa County.
Right.
And I said, she's not going to be able to show even one ballot was fraudulent. And that's what happened. Because in the case of the ballots that were where you voted on election day and they went right through a tabulator, okay, and then went onto a pile, okay, what goes on inside that black box machine? The elections director, election day officer, Scott, whatever his name is, I can never remember the kid's name, and then his cohort later, they both testified under oath, yeah, we don't really know what the results are in Maricopa County, we, the government, because we have to take the word of the contractors, because we don't know how to run the machines. Only they know. They're a third-party contractor. You'll have to ask them. We have to ask them. Excuse me? I thought it was the government, our government, our people were supposed to be doing the tallies of the votes. You're telling us now a contractor does it, and they can't tell you how the machine works because they can't reveal to you the source code.
I was just about to say, and then when you ask them, they tell you it's proprietary.
Right, exactly.
And they just so happen to be outside of any the of any FOIA request.
So what happened in the Carrie Lake trial? Just what I predicted would happen. You know, I am a trial lawyer. I do know a little bit about the law. I've tried some big cases and smaller cases. But every case is unique, and it's all about evidence. What can I show evidence-wise? And I knew that Kurt Olson and his sidekick, Brian Blame, and the others that worked on it were not going to be able to show even a single ballot. And that's what happened. At the end of the day, the judge, when they made their final argument, the judge said, when he made his ruling, I have to find in favor of Katie Hobbs, the challenge fails because you failed to bring into this courtroom even one fraudulent ballot.
So how do we go about bringing this system? Because I think you're 100% right. I think it's rigged. And I think that the same way you and I wake up in the morning and go to work, there are people on the other side who wake up and walk into a war room environment and basically have nothing to do all day. And they're very well funded and they basically have nothing to do all day but to think about how to rig the elections and how to, and not just how to rig them, but how to get away with it.
Yeah, right.
And I
think the system is designed to first steal the election, and it's also designed to prevent the evidence showing that it was stolen to ever be made public. As I explained, the vote by mails, when the ballots get separated, now it's impossible to marry those up. And where do those ballots go through? They don't get hand counted. They get put through a machine.
Yeah.
I did a talk on this on February 11th in Charleston, South Carolina at an election integrity event that I think Patrick Byrne underwrote with the America Project. Yeah. And I gave about a 20-minute talk, and I had some graphics that showed it. Yeah. And I showed exactly how the system works. Yeah. And it works in a way that prevents, first, allows the selection to take place, and then prevents the evidence of the selection from ever being brought forward, just like what happened here in Arizona in the case of Carrie Lake's trial. So
tell us how we go about bringing this system that's been breaking down this deck that's been stacked against us.
Well, it's the precinct committee strategy. That's it. We have to be in a position to elect better people to the state legislatures, especially because, see, there's no federal jurisdiction over the running of our elections for the House and the Senate and for the presidency. And that's from the Constitution. That was one of the big compromises that nobody talks about. The Federalists who wanted the Constitution were up against the Anti-Federalists who were against the Constitution. And one of their selling points to the American people was this. Well, look, see, yes, you're going to elect representatives to the People's House, the House, and to the Senate, the state legislatures get to elect the senators. And then we also get to elect, you also get to elect through an electoral college, a president. And that's all in the Constitution. And that's what's called plenary authority. You, the states, have all that authority. It says so right in the Constitution. See, you guys can run your elections any way you want. We who are going to get elected eventually have no say in it. And that's the truth. So what is the federal government trying to do now to get jurisdiction? Computerize the system and put it on the internet or make it so that it might get on the internet. And then see, now it's a national security issue. And therefore, we have jurisdiction because it's part of our national security infrastructure.
Right. Critical infrastructure. Right.
Yeah. Critical. That's how they're doing it. Well, there's an easy way to undo that. Take it off the internet. Go back to hand counted paper ballots, a one day election, everybody has to have their and the poll books, the of who the voters are.
Right.
Take those off computers. Make those paper. You walk in, if it's all done in a small precinct, there. My precinct is at the average in Arizona in size.
Yeah.
We have about 1,250 Republicans, about 1,250 Democrats, and about 1,250 others, independents, libertarians, greens, whatever. Mm-hmm. Okay? That's about what is it? It'd be 1,250 times three, whatever that is. 3,750 voters. About 4,000. You can, and I put this in the talk I gave. And if you go to rumble.com and put in precinct strategy and then sort by most recent, you'll find my most recent talks. And then in the show notes for the video, I've got a link to the talks I gave in Charleston, South Carolina, and also the PowerPoint talk I gave on Rumble the day before, about 20 minutes. And I explained how easy it is and inexpensive it is to have high school students. You pay them $15 an hour. You bring them in with teams of two, with then an adult as well, volunteer or paid person at a local precinct. And in less than 3 hours, easy, with if there's 40 races on the ballot. I did a time and motion study of my own, and it how you would do it. You know, first you take the presidency and you go through, and one person flips in stacks of 50 the ballots, Trump Biden, then marks it down,
right.
And you see what, and then you see what the total is,
right.
You know how we used to do it, 1, 2, 3, 4
slash 1,
right. 2, 3, you know, and then 5, and then you add up by 5s, and it's real easy,
right?
You can go very fast, okay, like we did in high school when we elected our class officers. That's
right.
How we did it,
right?
Okay?
That's how we did it, right,
and it doesn't take long at all, and you do it in front of everybody. Anybody can come watch. You vote in secret, you count in public. Before those ballots get boxed up and sealed and sent away for an eventual recount if needed, that's how you do it. And that's how they do it in every other civilized country in the world, except ours.
Right.
England does it that way, except in London, they use Dominion machines. France does it completely. All of the other countries, the first world countries do it, except ours. The third world countries do it that way because they can't afford to have machines. God bless them that they can't afford to have machines, because then everything would be rigged.
Lucky them, right?
Yeah, but that's how we get back to it. But how are we going to get that enacted? Well, it varies from state to state. So right now in Arizona, if you can convince a county board to go back to hand-counted paper ballots, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, they can do it under our state law, under our election procedures manual. Because our election procedures manual says that if the election day officer at any voting location within the county believes that it's impracticable to use the machines, they can go back to hand count. Well, of course it's impracticable, because you don't know what's going on inside the machines.
Right.
So go back to hand count, okay? And then if the mailed votes come in, if we Republicans are smart, we won't vote by mail. We'll vote on election day. But see, every state's different. In some states, like Oregon and Washington State, you have to vote by mail, period. So those states, they're so blue that it's unlikely they're ever going to get a red legislature like we have in Arizona. But but see, even though here in Arizona and Michigan and Georgia and Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania, they had Republican state legislators.
What good are they?
Republican. Right. But they didn't do anything.
Yeah.
And the reason they didn't do anything is some of them really aren't Republicans.
Yeah.
And then the ones who are afraidy cats. Even the ones who are former military are so afraid that someone might call them a name, you know, like one of their fellow Republicans. We got them in the state legislature here. You know what they did here? They did a head fake. They passed a resolution to call on Adrian Fontes, our Secretary of State, the leftist cartel lawyer, Adrian Fontes, former cartel lawyer. He They said, you have to use, if you're going to use machines, they have to be made in the United States, and the software code has to be written in the United States by an American company. He immediately went to the microphones and had a press conference and just laughed at them. He said, I'm not going to do that. And the reason he wasn't going to do it was because the resolution didn't go on to say, and this was just for the, they can do this for the federal elections without the governor's input. The state legislatures can tell the counties and the Secretary of State how the elections are going to be run for the U.S. House and the U.S. Senate. Plenary authority from the Constitution.
Mm.
Okay, the elections clause. That's Article 1, Section 4, Clause 1. The times, the places, and the manner of the holding of those elections is determined by the legislatures of the state thereof. Okay? He laughed at them because it didn't go on to say, and if you violate this law, resolution, whatever we are calling it, it's a felony.
Yeah.
They left that part out, the enforcement clause. And that's like law 101 when you go to law school, when you learn about legislation. I took a class on legislation. They can pass whatever kind of law they want. Like, for example, all the laws relating to political parties. Like in Florida, there's a law that says every 2 months, the county chair has to give to the elections department a list of all the elected and appointed precinct committee members.
Mm.
That's what the law says.
Mm.
Do they do it? Well, some of them do and some of them don't. And the ones who don't, they don't have to worry because it doesn't go on to say, and if you don't do this, it's a misdemeanor. And why can't that say that? Because the political parties are private entities. They're not government employees, and you don't have jurisdiction over anybody who's in a political party, period. You can ask them to do it. You can say you have to do it, shall do it. But if there isn't an enforcement clause, and there can't be, then they're not going to get the information. So I about a year ago, I wanted to get the Palm Beach County Republican list of precinct committee men, elected and appointed, the most recent list. And I knew that the Rhino at the time county chair wouldn't give it out to anybody.
Hmm.
So I emailed a Freedom of Information Act or public records request to the Palm Beach County Elections Department. And I got a response, and they sent me the latest list. And it was about an 8-page PDF that was over a year old because he wasn't doing it. So, but you asked, how do we get back? We've got to elect better people to state legislatures. And the way to do that is by first filling up all the vacant precinct committee slots of the Republican Party. That's my autistic son who just came into my office.
No.
If you heard him, he just left. You got to fill up all these slots and then get out the vote for the best candidates in the primaries. And I know it can be done because I've told the story many times. In 2016, a guy that I knew wanted to be a state legislator. We had an incumbent Rhino who had lied to us, voted for Medicaid expansion with the Democrats in the dead of night, along with Governor Brewer, who signed it into law. He promised he would never do that, as did the others from our legislative district. We had three Republicans representing us. Mm. They all did the same thing. So I want to take out the senator named Jeff Dial. I said, okay. He says, you know how to do this stuff. Would you help me? I said, sure. So he did much of the legwork, but I told him what to do. I said, you got to print out call and walk sheets for every precinct that give us just the voters who vote 50% or less of the time. And we'll target them. And we'll make phone calls to them. And we'll drop a flyer off at their door showing the difference between you and Jeff Dial.
Mm.
Now, and we won in a landslide, 53-47.
Mm.
And my candidate's last name was Schmuck. And we still won.
Right.
Frank Schmuck defeated Jeff Dial. He was the only Republican to take. Now, all of a sudden, the governor was calling Frank Schmuck. How can we help you? I told him, stop taking calls from these. Debbie Lesko called, Congressman Debbie Lesko. How can we help you, Frank? I said, call them. Don't take their calls. And if they ever do get in touch with you, ask them, well, why didn't you help me in the primary? I don't need your help. I can win this on my own. But if you want to help me, now tell me, how are you going to help me? You didn't help me in the primary.
Right.
See, they wanted to corral him.
To get their hooks in him.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have a question for you. How does this, the fact that they are now trying to consolidate voting into these large mega voting centers and away from the individual precincts, does that affect the precinct committeeman strategy at all? And if so, how?
In one way, sure. It's another reason why we've got to stop that.
Mm-hmm.
We got to undo all of that stuff. See, if you can centralize electronically the votes, guess what you can do? You can more easily electronically manipulate them. They're all in one big database.
But that doesn't eliminate positions, does it? Does it eliminate precinct committeeman positions?
No, okay. It would not. No. Right. Again, it varies from state to state. So it's the parties that determine how they organize. And then if you get ballot status, then now there are some things you may have to abide by, like there's windows for having the time to have your local election of the precinct committee. Mm. Some states it's by a private meeting called a caucus, a precinct caucus. So for example, in Iowa, here's what's going to happen in Iowa. Right. And it's very similar to what's going to happen in Nevada. They're caucus states. So on January 15th at 7 p.m., all across Iowa at voting precinct locations, and the meetings can be held wherever the person who is going to chair it. There's legacy people who are going to walk in and begin it. And in some rural places that are very sparsely populated, it might be at somebody's house, yeah, or it might be at a high school or a fire station, or right, it might be at a church, wherever, by precinct. First thing that happens is they elect, the group elects somebody who'll say, I'd like to run the meeting now. I'd like to be the precinct caucus chair.
Mm.
And for this meeting. Oh, okay. Then somebody volunteers. Usually nobody wants to do it because it's a little bit of work. Mm. And the first thing they do is after they've determined that everybody there is a bona fide Republican, however they determine that, I believe in Iowa, it's same day registration. You can just come in and say, I'm a Republican.
Mm.
But if you come in and everybody knows you're really not, you're going to get like dagger stares, I imagine.
Right.
And so probably the Democrats aren't going to try to flood into these things. And don't forget, I think the Democrats are having theirs the same day.
Right.
Maybe not. I don't know for sure. It can vary date. Like I just looked up another state the other day, and it was the Democrats was on one day and the Republicans was on a different day. Mm. But I don't know what it is in Iowa. But regardless, first thing that happens is they do the straw poll for who's going to be the nominee of the party for president. Mm. And then they write down the person's name and drop it in a box. And then after everybody's had a chance to vote, then they count them up in front of everybody and they put them in piles, Trump, Haley, DeSantis, whomever. I guess Christie isn't even participating.
Don't forget Christie. Oh, is he not?
I don't think he's participating.
Is he out?
He wrote off Iowa. So anyways, he's going to get it in New Hampshire.
Right.
Anyways, that's first. But then after that, a lot of people leave because they don't want to be involved in the party. But the people who stay, let's say that there's 10 precinct committeeman slots for that particular precinct and only 8 stay, automatically they become precinct committeemen without a vote. But if 11 stay, then they'd have to take a vote. And then they'd vote for one another. And the top vote getters, the top 10 would win, and the one person who got one fewer or two fewer would lose. Mm. That's how it's done. Mm. And then they're also going to elect their county delegate representing the precinct. Mm. I believe they do it that way. The way we do it in Arizona is much simpler. Mm. We get elected in the primary. in 2022, we got like me got elected. Then if there's vacancies, and there were plenty of vacancies in Maricopa County, almost two-thirds of our slots in Maricopa County were unfilled via the primary. So we're up to just about 52% now. 52.3, I think it is what we're at, of appointees. So we appointed an additional, like, we were at 3,800, and we're a little over 4,000 now. So we recruited a little over 1,000, like 1,500, whatever it is, new people before December 31st of this last year. They, too, can go to our caucus meeting in March in my legislative district or the other legislative districts in Maricopa County or in the rural counties. They only have a county committee. One of our counties doesn't have a committee anymore. Greenlee County doesn't have enough Republicans that want to have a committee anymore. So they don't even have one. So, but we get to elect the state convention delegates from each of those entities. So legislative district 12, we're going to elect, I think, around 55 delegates, 55 alternate delegates to the state convention. Then at the state convention, but only any Republican can show up, but only the precinct committeemen get to vote, the elected and the ones who got appointed. And so usually all of the delegates are precinct committee. And then you go to the state convention and you elect the national convention delegates, the national committeemen, and the national committee woman. See, that's two. That's two, represents two out of our three representatives in the party at the RNC level. The entire RNC, two-thirds of the slots are up for grabs in 2024 at these state presidential nominating conventions. Has anybody told you about that? Has the GOP sent you an email say, hey, you know, two-thirds of the RNC slots are up to grabs? Do you think there's any mention of that on the GOP.com website?
Of course not. I didn't even know it.
They don't want anybody to know this stuff. So I tell them.
How many, you mentioned a moment ago that there is a county around you that that doesn't have a committee because they couldn't get enough people. How many people would they need?
They would need three.
And they couldn't get three people.
Exactly. If three people stepped up to the plate and said, we would like to be the officers, you have to have a chairman. This is by statute. You have to have a chairman, you have to have a secretary, and you have to have a treasurer. And then you have to have a first vice chair. And so the chairman, the one person can hold two of the offices, like secretary and first vice chair, or treasurer and first vice chair, could be held by the same person. So you only need three people. They can't even get three interested people in Greenlee County to form a Republican committee. But, you know, it might be that it's almost the entire county is on the reservation. I don't know. I just don't know enough about Greenlee County other than they are no longer on. If you go to azgop.com, we have a list of all the county chairs. There isn't one for right now for Greenlee County.
Well, this leads into what you this phrase that you've coined, CPPPDS. Tell us about
that. CPPPDS is a malady that conservatives apparently suffer from. Greatly, almost every conservative, because there's only about 100,000 conservatives in the political party that would be their home, the Republican Party. There's only about 100,000. 200,000 of the slots are vacant. 100,000 are filled by rhinos, but only 100,000 conservatives. There's millions and millions and millions of conservatives all across the country, but they suffer from CPPPDS, conservative political party participation deficit syndrome. They don't participate in party politics. And as a result, we're going to lose the republic unless they cure themselves quickly. And only they can cure themselves. I can't yell at people to become precinct committeemen. I can't kick them in the rear end. I will say, light a fire under your rear end and get off it and find your local Republican committee and go there and sit in that folding chair you'll probably end up sitting in for 2 hours or 3 hours a month. It's a 3 hour a month commitment. In some states right now, they only meet every other month, which is ludicrous in my opinion.
Yeah.
We should be meeting at least every month and learn how real simple stuff, how to get out the vote and how the party works so that you have a say in, you know, I have this saying, don't just be a donor to the party, become an owner of it.
Yeah.
And you become an owner of it by filling up a vacant precinct committee slot.
Yeah.
It's not hard to do.
Engagement really is the key. And I don't think that people realize that it doesn't, the price is not as high as people might think. And I don't mean financial, I mean in terms of time and in terms of commitment.
Right.
You can have a real impact with just a few, like you just pointed out a second ago, with just a few hours a month.
Yeah, I have a video on my site. So if you go to precinctstrategy.com and then you click on, there's horizontal buttons right underneath the logo. And there's three buttons at the top, but then there's some horizontal buttons. And one of them says videos. You click on that, you go to a videos page, and then there's a how-to videos button. Click on that. Mm-hmm. And then there's four videos. Turns out one of them is a duplicate. I didn't notice that. The guy who did my website messed up. I got to get him to fix that. Mm-hmm. But they're also at the very bottom of the homepage, these instructional videos that I did a long time ago. But the fifth video is a 15-minute narrated PowerPoint I did almost 10 years ago about how we use GOP data center in our voting precinct. My old voting precinct, which was a little bit smaller, a part was added on. But we had eight people using the software that the party gives us. And we doubled turnout in a mayor and city council race in Tempe, Arizona. Doubled, a double Republican turnout. It's a nonpartisan race. So the voters can't see who's the Republican and who's the Democrat. And most people aren't clued in. And turnout, I looked historically, 1 year it was 7% turnout in the election of the mayor and city council members. 7%. It was usually about 12, 13, 14, 15%. Well, what happened on the first election, there was a runoff seat. But the first time, nobody won a majority for mayor or for one of the city council races. And so we had two candidates then go on to the runoff. But in our precinct, and we showed the candidates this, we showed them, we only did 3 hours of work each, eight of us. And I costed it out and I showed them how easy it was. And we did it for free. They didn't have to even pay us. And I costed out how much it would cost if they had paid somebody. It wouldn't be much at all. But they didn't do any ground game. And we got 44% of Republicans to vote the first time. The initial, where it, like I said, that was the election, but then there was a runoff election
right.
because nobody got in a couple of the races 50% plus one.
Right.
So the average turnout was 22%. We gave them all that. Then we did it again for them in the runoff, and we had the same results. They didn't do a damn thing with that information. And then ended up losing. And if I say it in the video, if they had done it in just like two more precincts and gotten the results we got, both of those candidates would have won. And that we would have had a conservative Republican and a conservative mayor and city councilman, which we've never had. Hardly ever have had in Tempe.
It definitely is frustrating.
Yeah.
You've developed a tool that allows people to connect with each other in their state. Can you walk us through that real quick?
Yeah, all right. So it's right here. Connect with other conservatives on the Secure Precinct Strategy group platform. And then this is the Votify Now app.
Yep.
And then this is where you go to get my podcast. And those are those videos I mentioned. And then if you scroll all the way down to the bottom, here are four videos. Time commitment and duties of precinct committeemen. How does one become a precinct committeeman? What is a voting precinct? Why is it important? Importance of precinct committee members. Okay, and then this site I'm going to show you, right here is a tutorial video, which is on Rumble. My friend Robert Beatles, who developed it, talks you through in 11 minutes how it all works. But I'll just go back up here. And since I've already on it, when I click there, it'll take me right to the site, Precinct Strategy Communications and Collaboration Platform.
Right.
But if somebody, some new person were to click there, it would go to a sign up page where you would sign in, create a user ID and a password, give the developers an email address so that they can contact you. We don't, nobody gets spam though. The only time you would ever get sent something is if there was an upgrade and they wanted to announce the upgrade by email. Right. So this is the Precinct Strategy Communications and Collaboration Platform. So there are chat rooms. This is the main feed. This is where the tutorial video resides. This is pinned. There's Robert Beatles right there. So if I were to click on the play button, that would start up. So I did click on it. And so that's Robert starting to talk about how this all works. You can open that up to full screen. There are chat rooms. So for example, there's public chat rooms. There's private chat rooms. If I go to public chat rooms and I type in right here in the search Arizona, it will give me in a list. And I can't scroll down here because I chose Google Chrome, the scroller doesn't work unless I had a scroller on a mouse, and I don't.
Gotcha. Right.
So I can't scroll down, but what I can show you also is there would be seven Arizona chat rooms that I set up, but let's go to resolutions. Well, let's go to jab right there. Ban the jab resolution. I created the precinct strategy, ban the jab resolutions room. And here's an article about the ban the jab that was on Zero Hedge. So there's a Zero Hedge article, but I'll go backwards if I can here. Maybe I can't. Yeah, see, now at the top of my screen where all the buttons are, I can't see them because, I got back. Okay, good. It worked. Mm-hmm. So anyways, let's go back to pill.net. So I showed you the resolution for ban the jab. So let's go to chat rooms again. Oh, let's go to members. Members. So there's 16,184 people on this site. If I wanted to find out how many are in Arizona, I just type in Arizona, and there they all are. There's 736 in Arizona. Mm. They're listed by state and county. And if I wanted to, like, let's say, well, let's put, let's see if Greenlee. Oh, it's going to take a while because it's going through. There's probably nobody in Greenlee County, but here's California. If I click on California, it tells me there's 1,279 in California. Again, here are their counties. Mm. So that if you are living in one of those counties, you can search and find out how many. So there's 133 in Los Angeles County. I did that right. By clicking on Los Angeles.
Right.
So back here at the chat rooms, there's a chat room for every state. So again, if I type in Arizona, here's the Arizona State Committeeman chat room that I set up for the Arizona State Committeeman, but none of them are using it. Mm. So I said, this chat room is for those Arizona State Committeemen who want to discuss whatever relating to the state committee. Thanks, Dan Schultz, PS. Please invite your fellow state committeemen into this room. So I don't have any photos, videos, or anything, but if I did, they would be here. Mm. So there's all sorts of things you can do with this. And my goal is to get everybody onto this.
Well, it allows people to connect with each other.
Yeah.
And it allows folks to realize that they're not alone, and it allows people to kind of leverage the fact that there's strength in numbers.
Yeah. See, unfortunately, right now what's happening is there are people using Signal.
Yes.
You cannot do on Signal what I just showed you. There are people using Telegram. Telegram, you can do some of the things that I showed you. But here's the thing about Telegram and Signal. They're tracking everything that you do, whoever they are. I don't know who owns those platforms, but I know who owns the one showed you. It's Robert Beatles. Mm-hmm. And he owns the servers physically. They're not on He's not renting space on Amazon Web Services or Microsoft's cloud. He owns these machines. They're his. So it's like his private internet, and it can't be taken down.
And I am, by the way, I am suspicious of both Signal and Telegram. I'm sorry to say, but I am on them both. I use them both.
Yeah, but I do too. I try to direct people to mine, and I'm telling all the, see, I'm in one robust group in Florida, and they just had a meeting today, this morning. So I was in there seeing what they were talking about to elect a new chair, because the chair in Florida and his wife got embroiled in a threesome sex scandal and an alleged rape by him of a third woman. And his wife is a school board member and a Moms for Liberty co-founder. And
I heard about this,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Yeah. So anyways, they had a meeting today. And so all of these America Firsters in each county, they're not interconnected. And I keep telling them all, what you've got to do, it's like they're asking each other. They're from, I don't know, there's maybe 100 people on the Signal chat room called America First Florida Patriots or something like that. And they're all precinct committee. And see, what I have done in my legislative district and in my precinct, I know all of my precinct committeemen in my precinct because I recruited them all.
Right.
Except for a couple that I didn't recruit, but I've met them and I know they're all America Firsters and pro-Trumpers. I learned that over the course of the years and we're full. My legislative district committee, everybody there knows me. And so I know that we have about 70% are Trumpers. So do we really need, when we know we have a 70% majority, do we all need to be chatting every day on a platform? Probably not.
Right.
Let's say that we didn't. Let's say it was the reverse. Right. And we only knew that we had about 30% or thought we did. Well, there are these people that I call minos, moderates in name only. They become precinct committeemen. They're conservatives, but they don't want anybody to know they're a conservative. So they call themselves, "Oh, I'm a moderate," you know. And I've had this happen. Wendy Rogers was running for the state house, or maybe it was Congress that time. She's run 4 or 5 times,
right?
And I helped her because she lived in my legislative district at the time. Right. And I'm a conservative in the primary, a Republican in the general kind of person.
Right.
And I didn't think she was all that conservative sometimes because she supported John McCain. I didn't like John McCain. But anyways, I volunteered. She asked me, "Hey, Dan, would you be like my sign guy for your precinct?" And I said, "Sure." Because I go around, she knocked on lots of doors, including our door, and introduced herself to my wife. And my wife got to know her. And anyways, re-registered as a Republican because of Wendy, I think. Anyways, so she had like 5 or 6 signs. I drove over to her place of business. I got the signs and the addresses, and then I drove to the houses in my precinct. And the first one I went to, I knocked on the door and said, "Hi, I'm Dan Schultz. I'm with Wendy Rogers' campaign. I'm the sign guy. And you told her when she came to your door that you put a sign in her yard. So I'm delivering the sign. You want me to put it up?" And he goes, "No." And he kind of looks around, you know, I really can't put the sign up. I don't want my neighbors to know that I'm a Republican." Then I went to another guy. He's got all this Marine Corps stuff, a Marine Corps flag, an American flag, you know, welcome mats, red, white, and blue, and all that. I ring the doorbell. He comes through the door. Old codger. Same routine. I just can't do it. I know these people are. I don't want them to, you know, not like me because I'm a Republican. Okay. But see, they're minos that are precinct committeemen. And if you can smoke them out somehow, they'll always vote with you as conservatives. And so what we did in my old legislative district is we got the list of PCs, and then 8 or 9 of us got together and sat down at the meeting after the meeting at a Denny's, and we ordered coffee or whatever, pie or whatever. And then I gave out a list to everybody, and I had marked on the list that I gave them, I made Xerox copies of my list, the ones who I thought were conservatives that I knew, the ones who I thought were rhinos that I knew. And then I left the others blank. And so then we went through together and had a discussion one by one of the ones that I said were conservative and the ones that I said were rhinos to see if everybody else thought the same way. And then in some cases, yeah, no, that person really is a good conservative. Oh, okay. So I'll take your word for it. And we'll change the R to a C, rhino to conservative. Then we had about 25 names. We only had about a total at that time of about 110 precinct committee, and about 25, we didn't know who they were. So we divided those up amongst ourselves, and each one of us had two or three names. And the ones I went to, the first one I went to was an apartment. I rang the doorbell, guy comes, and I was going to just ask him a litmus test questions. And the way we were going to do it was, hey, I'm a conservative precinct committeeman. I know you're a precinct committeeman, but I don't know you. We're going to run a slate of conservatives for the officer positions. Do you think you'd support the conservatives? That was the one question we were going to ask. But when his door opened, behind him were a whole bunch of McCain signs. And then I realized, okay, this is a McCain intern and maybe even a campaign worker. Mm-hmm. So I didn't say anything like that. I just said, hi, I'm Dan Schultz. I'm a fellow precinct committeeman. I don't know who you are. And I was in the neighborhood and I thought, hey, I'll stop in and just introduce myself. And then I left. And then I put R next to Rhino next to his name.
Right.
That's how you do it. You got to smoke people out, build coalitions, and then ideally get them onto this communications and collaboration platform where you can set up. See, you could, my legislative district committee, I'm trying to get my chair to get all of the precinct committeemen, all of them, no matter where they stand, onto the platform in a chat room. And I set one up, legislative district 12 PCs, public chat room. But then any one of us can set up a private chat room just for the America Firsters. And the only people who will be able to see what's being said in there are those who were invited by a fellow member.
Someone who can vouch for you, in essence.
Yes, right. So we can have private chats and public chats. So you can share documents. You can share photos, memes, whatever. I set up a chat room for the resolutions I mentioned, Legislative District 12 in Maricopa County, EGC, endorsing Donald Trump. I've got resolutions to endorse Donald Trump. Chat room with copies of the resolutions in Word documents, so they're editable by anybody who wants to clone them for where they live. Same thing with the ban the jab resolutions. If we could get all of the conservative America Firsters on a single communications, a simple communications platform like this that can't be deplatformed, we'd really have something. So the missing link in all of this is conservatives.
Yeah.
We don't have enough conservatives in our party. We're short. To be at full strength, we'd have to have another 200,000 to join the 100,000 that are already in it. And then we'd have 400,000 precinct committeemen total. But the America Firsters would have a 75% voting majority over the fake Republicans, the rhinos. And they just exist. And I'm not calling them a bad name. It's not a pejorative. Well, it is, but it's a descriptive term.
Right.
Republican in name only exists. They are really Democrats.
They are really Democrats. And they are, so the Democrats and the globalists are the puppet masters, but the rhinos are the ones dancing on the strings. This is the real problem here. And if we can kind of take out a giant broom and sweep them to the side, we'll be able to affect the change that we want to affect. And it's not even, at this point, it's about defending this is an existential threat to this country and this country's future. And I think we need to get involved. To that point, tell us why the PC on your the PC sticker that you're wearing is upside down.
I was just about to. about 3 days ago, I was thinking about it. And so if I'm on Twitter and I go into a lot of Twitter spaces and there's these Assemble X Twitter spaces that are being created by some people.
Yes.
Who are trying to get people to do something, you know, and you know, do something. I tell people exactly what to do. You've got the best thing, the best use of 3 hours of your political time a month is not on being on Twitter, unless you're trying to recruit people to become precinct committee. That's what I use Twitter for.
Yes.
And so, but about, and so my logo right now, it was this button.
Right.
It says precinct strategy. And it's hard to see with the glare, but it's precinctstrategy.com PC. Yeah.
Yes.
So anyways, I turned that upside down while I was on a Twitter space. I thought to myself, yeah, the American symbol with our stars and stripes for insurrection or turmoil or
distress.
Distress. Thank you. That was the word I was searching for in my cobwebs. Distress. So I decided I'm going to turn that upside down because we're in distress. The party is in distress, and that's how we have to fix things first. And so I decided, you know, I'm just going to turn my logo, my Twitter logo, upside down. And now when I do my podcast from here on out until this gets fixed, I'm going to have my PC button upside down so I can talk about distress in an easier way. I can introduce this concept by saying, this is why I'm, did you notice that my button's upside down? It's upside down because we're in distress. I'll turn it right side up after we have a big progress in recruiting precinct committee.
But is so it too far, late for 2024?
No, it's not too late. In fact, I talked about that in my podcast today, which aired about an hour ago. I used a slide when I was going to, and I did it at Mike Lindell's event in about, I don't know, I think it was in August. I can't remember exactly, but I have the talk that I gave in the on at rumble.com. Again, if you go to precinctstrategy.com and click on the third button, it takes you right to my Rumble account. And then to my 16-minute talk today, I used the slide I used in the talk I gave. It was I had a PowerPoint up on the stage. And it was like I said, I wrote this in 2017. Then one of the videos on my video page is a video I did, I think it was January 8, 2020, to Donald Trump. And it was basically telling him, listen, sounds like my son. Anyways, yeah, it is. It's not too late, Donald Trump. It's a narrated PowerPoint, about 22 minutes, I think. Explaining it's not too late to get people involved in the party, because in most of the states now, this is the precinct committeeman recruitment season in starting in January. Like I said, in Iowa, then on February 8th, I believe it is, in Nevada, they're caucus states.
Right.
Here in Arizona, in March, we are about a 3 week window, maybe 4 week window to go get 10 signatures to get on the primary ballot in August. No more than 10. One can be your own. And in some sparsely populated precincts, you only have to get 3 signatures. One's your spouse, and if you have an adult child who lives with you, you're done. You don't even have to walk your precinct. But the party will give you a call and walk sheet that'll tell you which houses have Republicans in them. Or independents. You can't get Democrats. It has to be an independent or a Republican. Okay, so that season is starting now. So I was telling Donald Trump via this PowerPoint, it's not too late to take over the Republican Party moving forward into the 2020 election. But of course, he didn't do it. I tried to get him to talk about it that fell on deaf ears. But finally, in February of 2022, and it's on my website, he endorsed the precinct committee strategy. Mm-hmm. And now in Iowa and Nevada, to his Iowa and Nevada audiences, he's telling them, you've got to commit to the caucus. You've got to go to this caucus meeting for your precinct. He's saying that at his rallies. And he's got a website, ia.donaldjtrump.com for Iowa, ia.donaldjtrump.com for Iowa, and nv.donaldjtrump.com for Nevada. Nevada on its website has a great graphic of the Nevada GOP website, which is linked to the nv.donaldjtrump.com links to the Nevada caucus explanations on the Nevada GOP website. And they've got a nice graphic. Their systems are kind of complicated. Mm. And it's like, you know, something that I could have created for them with PowerPoint. So what did I do? I created one for Arizona. Our system is much less complicated. Mm. It's just got four arrows on it. First, you go to your caucus meeting and you elect the state convention delegates. Then the state convention delegates about 3 weeks later, go to the state convention where they elect the national convention delegates and the national committeemen and the national committeewoman. Then the national convention delegates, they go to the national convention and nominate, hopefully, President Trump. So then two other things happen. There are deadlines for getting onto the ballot to run for precinct committeeman. So I've got that on the graphic. And then when the primary election is, and I also have the presidential preference primary election, which is March 19th here in Arizona, which is meaningless. It's just an absolute meaningless thing in the end, because on the first ballot at the RNC presidential nominating convention, Unit Rule 38 says there's no unit rules allowed. So if your state tells you that you have to cast a ballot on the first ballot for whoever got the majority, let's say, that rule doesn't apply here. You can vote your conscience.
Mm.
So that's why the national convention delegates are so important. They're unbound when they get there. Curly Hoagland, who was a national committeeman from, I believe it was North Dakota, he wrote a book with another guy called Unbound. I've talked to him a few times, and he explains it all. But the book is this thick.
Yeah.
And he's got all his history in it. And, you know, I don't do stuff like that. I'm a trial lawyer, and I was an intelligence guy and a human intelligence. I had to, like, recruit people, like, very quickly. If I want you to do something, I'll tell you right up front, this is what I want you to do, just like the precinct committeeman strategy.
Yeah.
Go to my site, why you should do it, how to get plugged in, and then once you're plugged in, how to get even more plugged in with the communications and collaboration platform. But we're unbound when we get there.
What you're doing is absolutely fantastic, and I think it's only getting us the results that we need. That's why we're always happy when you come by and spend some
time. I'm really excited to go to this meeting on Saturday upcoming, my Maricopa County Republican Committee all hands on deck meeting. There's going to be some really bad bylaws proposed that the people are going to vote on. But if two-thirds want the bad bylaws, then the bad bylaw gets passed. Some of them violate state statute, but they still got through the committee somehow. Because we have some really good people, but they're really misguided, who are running our party right now at the Maricopa County level. So I want to, and then there's going to be five members at large. See, that we have five officers, five members at large. That's 10. And then we have 20 legislative district committee chairs. So 20, and then 10 more, 30 people. And five of them, the five members at large, they're going to be elected at this meeting, new ones, potentially. And so there's two slates, and anybody can nominate themselves from the floor as well. I thought about doing it, but I don't think I'm going to be here the rest of the year, starting in March. I'm moving back to Wisconsin, I hope. But anyways, it's going to be really interesting to see whether, you know, they're both slates claim they're the America firsters.
Right.
And it's going to be interesting to see how discerning, because I know which group really is and which isn't based on performance. Yeah. And I know who I'm going to be voting for. And I'm going to be telling everybody that at the meeting, maybe before even this week, if anybody asks me. But it's, you know, I tell people as well, if you really want to, if you really like being around weird people, become a precinct committee man. Go to the meetings. You're going to see every kind of weird person under the sun. Some are going to be, you're going to like them, and some of them you're not going to like.
Well, this is how this is how things get done, plain and simple. So again, we thank you for coming by and telling us and making us a little bit smarter about this subject. Dan, before we let you go, give the folks the web address once again where they can find you and how they can get
involved. Yeah. So I wrote this book, 2017. You can get it via my site, but you'll click through to Amazon.com. My site is precinctstrategy.com, precinctstrategy.com. And I try to put everything there that's important right on the homepage. So like saveyourrepublic.org is a site to get plugged in where you live to drill down to your state elections department. They did it. I saw it on Twitter. I added it to my site. I have a state information page where if I have found anything good, I've linked it at my site. Now, sometimes the links expire because the webmaster changes it and I don't have time to go and constantly check them all. I know some of the links are broken, but generally most of the links are good. And then inexplicably, I'll have people say, hey, I just went to the Georgia links and none of them work. And then I went there and they all work. So so she said, well, maybe it was my browser. And it turned out that that was the problem. The browser she was using, it, they weren't working. So anyways, you can always contact me also through my site. There's a contact Dan button. My email is dan@precinctstrategy.com, dan@precinctstrategy.com. And so, for example, the new or the current RNC national committee woman from Hawaii was going to call me a few days ago, but she hasn't called me. I've talked to the new Hawaii chair. See, Hawaii has a new chair because the complexion of the Hawaii Republican Party members tipped in favor of America firsters. And it, that happened in Michigan and Colorado and Nebraska and many other states. It's all about numbers. And again, we don't have enough conservatives in the ranks. And I explain that all in my book, on my site, and in my podcast.
It's awesome stuff. Thank you, Dan, for coming by. We look forward to having you out back on throughout the year because 2024 is going to be a ride, I think.
Yeah, it's pivotal year. Pivotal.